So every year when I teach confirmation class, we talk about what Christians believe about God and Jesus and Scripture and baptism and communion and all these different aspects of our faith. And there's one class where we talk about the Holy Spirit. I start off that class by telling them that we're going to watch a video. And I go over and get everything ready, get everything started, but it doesn't work. Because what they don't know is, before the class started, I unplugged the projector in the youth room. So I'm over at the computer acting like I can't figure out what's going on, and I ask them to come over and help me out. You know, come check the connections, see what's wrong, help me out here. They come over and they start looking at the cables, they make sure everything is connected, they check the switch on the wall that turns the projector on and off. They check all these other things. Maybe if you push this function button in your computer, it'll send power up to the projector. But they don't check the outlet. Because it's way up on the ceiling, and it's kind of hidden from sight, and no one thinks to look there. So eventually, as a last resort, someone stands up on a chair and looks up there and says, the projector's unplugged. So we plug it in and watch a video about the Holy Spirit. We talk about how the Holy Spirit connects us to God today. And I use that whole experience with the projector as an illustration. We say it's like God is like the outlet and we are the projector and the Holy Spirit is the plug that connects us to God so that we can shine forth God's power and light to others. On a very simple level, you know, for eighth graders, it works. But admittedly, that illustration has a fundamental flaw. It treats the Holy Spirit as a thing rather than a person. An inanimate object that simply exists to plug us into God rather than the Holy Spirit actually being God living among us today. For centuries, theologians have talked about our faith as going through three main periods or ages. First was the age of the Father, when God dwelled on earth with Adam and Eve or interacted directly with people through Moses and the judges and the prophets. They knew God and experienced life with God through the Father. Then came the age of the Son, when God dwelled on earth in Jesus Christ, walking, talking, teaching, healing, breathing, eating, God living with us. They knew God and experienced life with God through the Son. But almost 2,000 years ago, a new age began. The age of the Spirit. When God came among us and dwelled on earth in the Holy Spirit, doing all of the things that the Father and the Son did, as much a person as God the Father walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, talking with Moses, as much a person as Jesus Christ, who laughed and cried and touched and slept. It's easy for us, though, to depersonalize and objectify the Holy Spirit. To turn the Spirit into a thing, an it, because we can't see the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is just that, a spirit, an essence, not a tangible, visible, touchable being like the Father or the Son. And yet the Spirit is God, living and present in the world today. So the challenge for us as Christians living in the age of the Spirit is to open ourselves up to the invisible, the intangible, the untouchable, the mysterious, and embrace the person of the Holy Spirit as the reality of God among us now. I stumbled across a movie recently called The Brand New Testament. It's a Belgian movie. It's all in French, so there's subtitles. And the tagline for the movie is, God exists, and he lives in Belgium. In the movie, God is depicted as this sloppy, angry, abusive, sadistic father and husband. He lives in an apartment with his wife and 10-year-old daughter. And there are constant references to the sun, who's no longer there anymore, like something bad happened to the sun, but we don't talk about that. But the daughter has a statue of her brother in her room that when she talks to it, the statue comes to life and her brother talks back to her. God never allows his wife or daughter to leave the apartment, to go out into the world and interact with human beings. They all stay locked in there. And the only way that God interacts with human beings is through his computer. He's got this office with these infinite filing cabinets for files for every person in the world. And he sits there at his computer and creates new rules designed to torment human beings. Law number 2129. Every time you immerse yourself into the bathtub, the phone rings. Law number 2218. The other line always moves faster. Law number 2310. When you drop a piece of toast, it always lands jelly side down. And God just sits there typing and laughing at human beings. But as you're watching this movie, there's a moment where you come to the realization, God is the Father. The missing son, whose name is JC, is Jesus. And the daughter, this 10-year-old girl who's kept locked away in her room, is the Holy Spirit. The father abuses her physically and emotionally, beats her and yells at her and keeps her locked in her room because he's trying to control her, but he can't. So often, Protestant Christians especially treat the Holy Spirit the same way. The Holy Spirit is often referred to as the forgotten person of the Trinity, overlooked in favor of the Father and the Son. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit much. We keep the Spirit locked away somewhere, letting her out once a year on Pentecost. We like order, stability, predictability. We like our faith to be presented in concrete ways that we can touch. We crave control over our lives and our world. And the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. We try to control her, but we can't. And so at one point in the movie, this little girl escapes her father's apartment, and the Holy Spirit is loose in the world. She goes around calling 6 new apostles and writing a brand new testament. The apostles that she calls are people who were sick and lonely and unloved. One is a man who is just unfulfilled in his job and has become depressed and despondent. There's just no meaning or purpose in his life. Another is a man who is obsessed with death and killing, a murderer. The girl calls them together and connects them in new ways with each other and with the world around them. And they come to know beauty and love and meaning. It's a strange movie. If you ever have the chance to watch it, don't watch it and be like, Patrick recommended this. It's a strange movie, but it does such an amazing job of personalizing the Holy Spirit in a way that I've never seen before. I mean, literally turning the Holy Spirit into a person who we can see and relate to. And what the Holy Spirit does in the movie, the Holy Spirit is doing in real life. The story of our faith is still being written. The Spirit is calling new apostles and writing a new testament among us today. The Spirit calls us out of our sickness and sadness, our loneliness and pain, out of our anger and our fear. And the Spirit connects us in new ways with each other and with the world around us. The Spirit makes it possible for us to know God and our neighbor, for us to love God and our neighbor, for us to serve God and our neighbor. The Spirit makes it possible for us to believe in God and in our neighbor. Paul writes to the Corinthians that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. and that faith is a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to know God and make God known. The Spirit binds us to God. We've never seen God face to face. We have never seen Jesus. We know God and experience life with God only through the Holy Spirit. Paul says that the Spirit gives us gifts that enable us to serve God. Wisdom, knowledge, healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. But he says those gifts are given for the common good. As individuals, we receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, but those gifts are never simply for us. They are meant to draw people together. We see that in this story from Acts, where the Spirit comes upon the apostles and they begin speaking in different languages about the glory of God. It wasn't simply for the sake of speaking in tongues to demonstrate the power of God. The people around them hear them in their own languages, and they are drawn in to this community of faith. What is it about what's going on here that's speaking to me in a language that I can understand? So the Holy Spirit binds us to God, but the Spirit also binds us to each other. Paul writes that through the Spirit, many members become one body. This work that the Spirit does, the gifts that the Spirit gives, this is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. This is incredibly relevant and necessary for us today. We who, regardless of what language we speak, cannot seem to hear or understand each other. We who are so wounded need the gift of healing. In a world where the lines between right and wrong, good and evil become so blurred and difficult to distinguish, we need the gift of discerning spirits. We need the Holy Spirit to become personal for us today. Not individual or private, but personal. Flesh and blood, a lived reality. But the good news is, as the old hymn says, God never ends that tremendous dawn, the gifts of Pentecost. The Spirit is still living with us, at work among us. I read a news story the other day about an African-American church in South Carolina that received an anonymous letter in the mail with a check for $2,000. And the letter said this: "Dear sir or madam, please accept this donation to Nickeltown Presbyterian Church. I send it for two reasons. First, I am white and used to be a terrible racist. Thanks to Jesus and the Holy Spirit acting through the Presbyterian Church, I have been cleansed of that. Due to Christ's teachings, I am appalled at my former thoughts and words. I send this donation as a heartfelt apology to the African American community and as a sign of God's love for you and as a sign of my love for you as well. Second, if you are ever looking for proof that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are alive and well today, and that miracles, just as in biblical times, still happen today, this is it. It is thanks to Jesus and the Holy Spirit alone that I have been cleansed of my former racism. Apart from Jesus and the Holy Spirit acting through the Presbyterian Church, this transformation never would have happened. May God bless you. Signed, Anonymous." God is still living and at work in this world today in the Holy Spirit. And the way that we make the Spirit personal is by using the gifts that the Spirit gives. The Spirit becomes personal, tangible, touchable when we give the Spirit a person to work in and through. We are called through our words and our actions to put flesh and blood on the Holy Spirit so that others can see God living and at work in the world today through us. There was a time when God did all this work himself, the age of the Father. There was a time when God did all of this work through Jesus Christ, the age of the Son. But we live in the age of the Spirit. And God is calling us to do God's work in this world. Not by our own strength or ability, but by God's very presence dwelling in us through the Holy Spirit. Make the Spirit personal by being the person who uses God's gifts to do God's work in this world today. Let the Spirit live and breathe in and through you. Living God, breathe your Spirit into us, into your church, that you might live in and through us. Continue to share your gifts with us, that we can share them with the world for the greater good. We thank you, God, that you have not left us alone to figure out how to live life or live out our faiths by ourselves, that you continue to be near to us, as near as our next breath, through the power of your Holy Spirit. So may your wind blow among us, may your fire burn within us, and may your breath of life lead us to live in new ways with you, with each other, all in the saving name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.